Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Bike Radar podcast, brought to you by the team behind BikeRadar.com, Cycling Plus, and MBUK magazines. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe. And if you can do so, leave us a rating on your podcast provider of choice. It really helps us reach other cyclists like you.
Welcome to the Bike Radar podcast. My name is George Scott, the editor-in-chief of Bike Radar, joined once again by Jack Luke, the deputy editor of Bike Radar. Jack, we're both regulars on the podcast, but we're somewhere very different today. Tell the audience where we are.
We are dialing in from the wonderful sunny state of California, where we're attending Sea Otter, my very first time at the show. You've been here a few times, George. We've had a wonderful day prowling the pits looking for new tech.
We've had blue skies, warm sunshine, lots of new tech, and we swapped dreary Bristol for sunny California. So tell the audience exactly what the Sea Otter Classic is and your first impressions of the show.
So the Sea Otter Classic is a really iconic bike trade show. It's more like a festival atmosphere rather than a sort of traditional trade show. Loads and loads of different brands exhibiting, a broad range of brands from across the world, but obviously with a bit more of a US focus and a bit more of a focus on the sort of mountain bike side, which is where the show started out. But there's a lot more gravel stuff as time's gone on, but plenty of road things, of course, to see as well. And also alongside the exhibitors, which is our main focus, we have loads of racing going on. So there's gravel racing, dual slalom, enduro, downhill, road racing, the whole lot. It's a really, really fun atmosphere. It's all set in the middle of Laguna Seca Racecourse. It's a great vibe. I really enjoyed nosing around for the first day. Eurobike's the other massive sort of cycling trade show, and it's in enormous windowless halls in Frankfurt, so it couldn't be further removed. And my pasty Scottish skin has enjoyed the vitamin D today.
You have. You were quite the sight today in your bucket hat, roaming the dust bowl that is Laguna Seca. But yeah, as you say, very different to Eurobike, and great to be out here in California. As you mentioned, Jack, there is a bit of a mountain bike focus to the show, but we're going to focus today on some of our road and gravel highlights that we've spotted on day one before bringing you some mountain bike highlights in a future podcast. So we've got a new bike from Richie, a new bike from Parley, components from 5Dev, Cane Creek, some Giro shoes, Kadex wheels, and a couple more bits to talk through. So should we start with Richie?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the new Richie Montebello, a bike in the best fashion of a trade show, spotted from down a sort of aisle of tents at the other end, immediately caught my eye. Absolutely the sort of bike I'm interested in. It's an all-steel, randonneur-style bike with provision for dynamo lighting, full mudguards, rack mounts at the front, and better still, this wonderful red demo bike they had built around really handsome silver finishing kit. It was like, I was like drawn to it, like a fly to ointment. It's a very Jack Luke bike. It's an all new model for Richie. It's quite similar to their road classic steel road bike, but this one's got slightly slacker geometry, being designed for those long distance days. It's got clearance of 36 millimeter tires with mudguards, or 40 millimeters without. It has all the sort of classic tropes of Rich's steel bike, so that really cool fastback style seat cluster, really nice dropouts, Rich's triple butted tubing. It's very, very cool. And as I said, the sort of bike I like. It's priced at $1,600 and due to be available in August. And like Rich's other bikes, it's only available as a frame set, so you can build it up as you please.
It is very typical of you that at a show that's dominated by carbon fiber and the latest technology, integration, aerodynamics, gravel, is this bike that you open the podcast with. So what is it about this bike in particular that caught your eye?
It's quite unusual. Like, these sort of bikes have been very popular in the custom building scene for many, many years. I think what's unusual here is it's from a fairly mainstream brand. Like Richie, when I spoke to them, they said that they actually produce their bikes on quite small scale. Like, they'll only do orders of about 250 frame sets at a time. That's tiny in the context of a big mainstream brand. But nonetheless, it's still quite an unusually niche option for a better known brand. And also that carbon fork with the provision for a front rack, while that's become more commonplace in recent years, it's definitely unusual to see a brand showcasing something with that kind of Porter Randonneur style rack. Yeah, it's really nice. It's a cool looking bike.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, well, let's move on from that one. We've got about 20 minutes until our dinner arrives. By the delights of Uber Eats, we're in our Airbnb recording this for you after a busy day at the show. So let's move on to a bike that in some ways is quite similar. It's a big tired drop bar road bike, but in other ways, very different. So we both went and saw this independently on the Parley stand. The Parley Ure, I think that's how
Ure, you pronounce it.
It's O-U-R-A-Y. It's actually a small town in Colorado, in the San Juan Mountains in Colorado. So Jack, tell me about the Parley Ure.
Yes, as you mentioned, carbon monocoque all-road bike. Parley's first bike since being rescued from bankruptcy in 2023. Parley's better known for custom carbon bikes, generally made with like tube-to-tube style construction. That's by far the thing they're best known for. This new bike is manufactured in Europe, and Parley says that thanks to that one-piece monocoque construction, they're better able to tailor compliance. Tube-to-tube construction is harder to do that with. It's not impossible, but it's much harder, and generally you'll find what they describe as dead spots at tube junctions, so you won't get quite as much flex as you would with those smooth-flowing organic lines of a monocoque frame set. The bike's expected to be priced around $6,800 for the cheapest build, rising up to as much as you could possibly spend. Parley is a very premium brand, and the bike certainly looks premium with this amazing raw carbon waxed finish, which I've personally never heard of with a carbon bike before. Generally with raw finished carbon, they're like clear coated on the outside. This one is like fully raw, out there to be seen. It's quite bold, but very cool.
Absolutely, yeah, really cool, really eye-catching, and great to see Parley back in the headlines after quite a tough time.
Yeah, definitely.
Last year.
Yeah.
You actually spoke to John Harrison, who was the investor who saved Parley, and he's now the CEO. What did he have to say about the new bike?
I didn't actually realize the CEO when I was speaking to him, so I'm glad I was polite. No, he was very enthusiastic about the bike and kind of made the distinction between this, so it's their what they're describing as factory made bikes, and their custom bikes. That's still very much part of the business, but I get the impression that this type of bike is going to give them a slightly broader appeal compared to the super custom, super high-end carbon bikes.
That's right. Parley has four bikes in the range currently. There's two road bikes. There's the Z0, which is a fully custom option. And then there's the RZ7 road bike, which is another factory-built option. And then on the gravel side of things, there's the Z0 XD, again, a custom, fully custom construction, and then the Chebaco XD. I think I've got that pronunciation right. Chebaco XD, which is a factory-built gravel option from Parley. So this one, the Ure, sits slap bang in the middle as an all-road bike. Some brands would describe this as an endurance road bike because that's the trend that we've seen, big-tired endurance road bikes. They've got clearance for 40mm tyres. Parley's sticking with the all-road moniker.
I mean, they're much of a muchness, to be honest. If we're looking at contemporary endurance bikes, I think all-road became a bit of a thing like in the last 12, 18 months when the trend now for insurance bikes. We've seen it with the BMC Road Machine a few weeks ago. Trek to Mani is quite similar. Like, tire clearance has grown to the point where it's almost gravel bike-like. All road was quite a good category, I think, for brands to fit that into a couple of years ago. But I guess for Parley, maybe they do want to lean a bit more into that gravel riding side of things. And that's likely reflected in the geometry, though. After a day of being cooked in Laguna Seca Bowl, I don't think I'll be recalling any geometry numbers off the top of my head.
No, just one point on geometry. Parley did say that they've tried to hone the shape of the bike to fit a wider range of riders, particularly smaller riders, both women and riders in Asia and across the world. So quite a dramatically sloped top tube on this bike. It comes in five stock sizes, and they say that the fit points on the bike, such as the seat post setback, the handlebar width, the stem length, the crank length, can all be customized at the point of purchase via a Parley dealer. A couple of other small points to cover. There's SRAM's universal derailleur hanger and a T47 bottom bracket. And John Harrison from Parley was really keen to state that they focus on open standards on this bike, including the shipment of a range of headset adapter kits for use with Pro, Envy and FSA cockpit setups. So yeah, the option to run multiple cockpits on this bike. Let's move on from Parley and onto some components, some very bling components that you saw.
Good stuff out there today.
From a Californian company called 5Dev. So tell me more about this.
Yes. So 5Dev, I think, is probably best known for its mountain bike and gravel crank sets, which feature cutouts. They're always titanium. But these new ones, which I asked the name of, I thought they were going to have some like clever name. They're just simply known as titanium road gravel cranks, which I really appreciated. But they are machined out at the back and then laser welded with a plate over the top at the back. So you get this, it's almost like Holotech, like Shimano Holotech, like look to the cranks. Very, very clean, but this ultra light titanium build. Now, those cranks have been around for a little while now. But what was really interesting was a new set of diamond-coated cranks, which will be released probably in the next few months. So this diamond coating is technically a diamond-like coating. It's a synthetic diamond coating. And it's a very similar finish to that you would see on diamond-hardened drill bits or saw blades. And 5Dev says that the benefit to this is that that coating is so hard that lasers can't touch it. So heel rub, in theory, with this should be absolutely a thing of the past, which is so cool. Like, you see these really high-end cranks all the time, ruined in short order with big, great flipper feet gouging big streaks into your nice anodized finish. This really cool, like, stealthy black finish, in theory, should last indefinitely and adds absolutely nothing. It's like a vapor deposition, I think it's called, coating. Very, very cool. I felt quite enthusiastic about these in a way I rarely am, jaded as I am from being around these shows. It's just such a nice, almost like matte look. Very much worth a look on our roundup, which will be on Bike Radar very soon if you're listening to this when it comes out.
Absolutely. You also covered these via the means of Instagram. We're on Instagram. We're going big on Instagram from this show.
Yes.
So do go and check us out at Bike Radar for more stories and reels from the show, including these 5Dev cranks, which Jack has covered extensively. I saw 5Dev here at the show last year. Really interesting, innovative company. I haven't seen them yet this year, but I'll go and check them out tomorrow.
Just a point on them. They were a massively popular booth today. You see loads and loads of folk at these shows, and there are sort of like honeypots where people go to bigger brands. 5Dev is a small brand. People really like this stuff. Like, they are super, super enthused about it. But I'd like to hear what you think. Send your thoughts to podcast@bikeradar.com. Let us know if you've seen any cool stuff at CR, and we'll go sniff it out.
Talking of sniffing out, I'm going to go sniff out that honeypot tomorrow. But one of the first things I sent you to go and see today was the new Cane Creek Invert Fork. Really interesting. This was released or launched or announced earlier this week ahead of the show, but one that you definitely wanted to go out and see in person.
Yes, the Invert is Cane Creek's all-new inverted, as the name suggests, gravel fork. Very cool. Carbon uppers flowing into a full one-piece carbon steer tube with these lightweight aluminium stanchions out the bottom. There's loads of stuff going on with this fork, but the key kind of claim made by Cane Creek is it's the world's first gravel suspension fork. Now, that's quite a generous claim. You know, there have been plenty of gravel suspension forks out there, but in the words of Cane Creek, they just haven't been fit for purpose to date. This new fork is a much, much simpler design compared to other gravel forks in the market. You could say something like the Lauf's leaf spring forks is simpler still, but for a sort of traditionally sprung fork, if you like, this is way more simple with no damper inside. It is just a simple air spring which can be adjusted, and it does have a lockout of sorts for kind of climbing out the saddle or if you're climbing on paved roads. But it's quite a wild looking thing, sort of similar to the RockShox RS1 mountain bike fork from a few years ago, but much more slimmed down with, I think, if I recall, it's like 40 millimeters of travel. We had previously only seen a black version of the fork, so a really cool stealthy black carbon one. They actually had on their stand a custom painted blue one, really bold, cool color, making the most of that unusual look of the fork. It's absolutely worth checking that story out on bikecreator.com. Oscar grilled them with some excellent questions, and the story's well worth a read, if anything, just to see this wacky fork.
So one question on this. Cane Creek has said in their press material, as you mentioned earlier, it's the world's first gravel fork. Now, clearly there have been a lot of gravel forks released over the last few years. Inevitably, a lot of comments on our social media saying, of course, it's not the world's first gravel fork. So exactly what are they getting at there?
I think their point is that other forks to date have taken too much from mountain biking. They've been much more complicated and as a result, a bit heavier. But they argue as well for the rigors of gravel riding. It's not really required to have all that tech, but the complication in terms of servicing that comes with that is a bit of a downside in their eyes with gravel forks. I think that we talked quite a lot about this in the office at the time of publication. It's very clever marketing, I'll give them that. But I think there's some truth to the fact that gravel suspension, or rather gravel riding, probably does require less complex tech. I will caveat that by saying I've not ridden anything except Lauf's forks. So maybe I would get on the bouncy Cane Creek and wish I had damping, but perhaps not. They seem pretty confident in it. So it's one I'm looking forward to testing. And I believe we are going to be getting a test fork soon-ish, next couple months.
Well, speaking of testing, Warren Rossiter, our senior technical editor for all things road and gravel, did a big gravel suspension test well over the past year. We've just published that, so do go and check that out on the site. Obviously, it doesn't include Cane Creek, it's just been released, but we'll get that one to Woz as soon as possible. Let's stick with gravel. I've got a snippet here to cover here. So I went past the Giro stand, their new TT helmet was front and center. But hidden towards the back were two new gravel shoes that are coming later this year. There's the Gritter. I say gravel, it's an XC / gravel shoe coming late summer, early fall, early autumn, according to Peter Nichols from Giro. It's a little bit lighter than the Empire, he says, with two bower dials. The Empire will come on to talk about in a second, but there's two bower dials on this and an upper that kind of combines a TPU fabric with mesh panels, quite similar to some of Giro's existing shoes. It's a version of their Syncwire upper. It's got a carbon sole with a kind of rubber molded outsole, as you'd expect on a shoe like this, for grip and a little bit of compliance. It comes in, it's quite an expensive shoe, so I'm just looking for the price here. $375, so a high-end new XC and gravel shoe coming from Giro, but there's also a very slightly more affordable shoe also coming in this category, and that is the Empire, which I just mentioned, the Empire SRC, which is a laced version. So slightly different upper, doesn't have the mesh panels in the TPU upper and laces, if that's your thing, as opposed to bower dials.
What is your thing, George? Laces or bower dials? What do you prefer for gravel riding?
I'm bower dials all the way. I am team bower.
Really?
I did have a pair of lace-up shoes and I can see the benefit for casual riding, but for a performance shoe, I love the ratchet on a bower dial.
Yeah, on-the-fly adjustment is good, but laces do look cool, and fundamentally, that is what gravel riding is about.
They do, and I'm sure, as Simon von Bromley has said in this podcast before, they're also more aero. So, yeah, it depends what matters to you, but it doesn't matter to me because I'm not very quick.
Yes. What else did we see from Giro? The Empire for Giro, was that not a road shoe for quite some time as well?
It was. I think it was a high-end road shoe, a very light road shoe, possibly yes. Come in a couple of different iterations. So I suppose this is an evolution of the Empire line. So it's the Empire SRC, $350. So much of a muchness between the two, $375 for the Gritter and $350 for the Empire. So they're both coming, as I say, end of summer, early autumn. So look out for those two new XC/ gravel shoes from Giro. Let's stick with the gravel theme and move to Redshift. So they had a new handlebar. Tell me about this one.
Yeah, this is a really quite a simple idea, but what I'm very fond of. The new top shelf bar. Imagine in your mind's eye, as you listen to this wonderful podcast, a classic mountain bike riser bar with the rise from the clamping area up to the tops, but then make it a drop bar. That's it. It's very, very simple, like sort of similar to something like Specialized hover bar with the sort of raise from the clamps up to the tops. But this one sort of bridges the gap in a like BMX style sort of strut across the top. Now, Redshift say the benefit of this is, no surprise, you get a slightly higher front end. But compared to other bars which have a riser section, that strut across the top makes it easier and more secure to mount a bar bag. Also, I think the forming with it, like it looks slightly less complicated than, say, something like a Specialized bar. So I imagine it's just a little bit cheaper. The benefit, though, being if you want to have a nice high front end for comfort, fantastic. For me, where I saw the sort of benefit with this was, let's say you buy a secondhand bike and it's got quite a stubby steer that's left behind. This is a good way to raise your front end without using a massive, dorky, high-rise stem. It's a slightly neater looking solution. Quite a funny thing from Redshift as well. They said that, like, they knew when they publicized this that people are going to hate it and people are going to love it. Like, it would be so divisive. But for them, they were like, oh, we don't mind about the negative comments because it sort of just fed the algorithm. People were commenting constantly. It pushed loads and loads of their posts out to lots of new people. And I think they're delighted with the results from the thing because more people know about Redshift now.
Absolutely, yeah. So Redshift are best known for their suspension stems and suspension seat posts. But yeah, as you say, a really simple idea for this one.
Yeah, really cool. Their suspension seat posts, they have also launched a new line, or rather new sizes for that. So new diameters, slightly different lengths for taller and shorter riders. But they all still use that same sprung parallelogram system for a little bit of rear end squish.
Well, let's move on to our final pick of the highlights of today's show. And this was the 51 Seeker. Now, did you see this one?
I didn't actually. This one slipped under my bike radar.
Well, this was on the SRAM booth. It's a new road bike from 51, an Irish brand, typically known for its custom road bikes. It's built 500-ish custom bikes since it was launched. Has since launched the Assassin, which is a kind of stock gravel bike. So there was a big hole in the range for a stock road bike. And this is it. This is the Seeker. Key points around this: it's got a fairly relaxed geometry. They say it's aimed at everyday riders, not at pros. It's got clearance for 40 millimeter tires, so again, the kind of rider who might take the odd diversion down a farm track or a gravel track, or just wants a big squishy tire for comfort. And a really interesting headline weight, so just 690 grams for the size large on show on the SRAM booth from 51 Seeker. So extremely light, quite classic lines with roundish tubes around seat posts, extremely kind of pencil thin seat stays. So yeah, quite a big addition to the 51 range and a real looker.
When you say that they're best known for their sort of custom bikes, how's this one made then? Is this a sort of factory built one, or are they still built in a custom manner?
As far as I'm aware, it's a stock factory built option. So they now have this, the Seeker, for road riding, and the Assassin for gravel riding, while still focusing very heavily on custom built bikes. So it's still a small compact range, but if you're into drop bar riding, then there is an option from 51.
And George, the biggest news of the night, you know, we've talked about all the key tech. What are you going to have for your dinner when we finish this podcast in approximately 30 seconds?
I think we've got some Greek food coming. So we've got a lovely chicken gyros on the way. So I'm looking forward to that because it has been a long, long day at the show after a long flight yesterday.
Yes. And we'll be straight back out tomorrow. Tomorrow, our focus is going to be picking up mountain bike tech. Don't worry. We will be representing the flat bar crew in future Bike Radar coverage, and we'll have a full podcast for that, as well as roundups on the site, standalone stories. But the place to check us out if you want your quickfire tech news is definitely the Bike Radar Instagram. I'll be wearing my stupid hat, waving my arms a lot, talking on Instagram stories.
Excellent, Jack. Should we wrap up?
I think so. Wrap up like a gyros.
Well, thank you for listening to the Bike Radar podcast. If you want more like this, normally a little bit more polished, but if you want more like this, more live show coverage, then do subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating and review on your podcast provider of choice, and send us an email to podcast@bikeradar.com. We love hearing from you, love hearing your questions and getting your feedback. For now, we're going to have our dinner and we're going to get ready for day two at the Sea Otter Classic. We'll be back next time.
Thanks for listening to the Bike Radar podcast. If you've not done so already, please subscribe and share with your friends, or leave us a rating if you've enjoyed this episode.